roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Las Vegas, Nevada, you are listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goz. What's up, Goz?
What up?
Let's tackle a late-night edition of MMA Junkie Radio. This is a courtesy to our friends on the other side of both ponds, the Oceania and Asia people, and then, of course, the Brits. They're going to get an early edition. All the North Americans, South Americans, they're all sleeping, so they'll wake up to this. But
plus, it's Canada Day. All them Canadians ain't listening.
Exactly. So what we're going to do is we're going to do something different because, you know, we often tell you, join us on Wednesdays at Sportscaster. My face turns blue. I've said it so much. And on today's show, we had John Anik, and then we touched on some of the latest matchups. So we're kind of all caught up on, you know, unpacking last week's UFC on ESPN 12. In fact, look for an interview that Goz and I did with Dustin Poirier as well. It's not part of any of the Junkie Radio shows. It's just part of us branching out and doing some video. So since we've done a little bit of that and we've done a little bit of, you know, talking about the matchups and the latest news and there's no drama to save for our mama, we're going to touch on the World MMA Awards. All the nominations came out and we always do it. We're towards the end. We're rushing and trying to remind people, hey, go out there and vote. Well, this time we're going to jump on it early. We'll probably do two editions. Here, you know, the day that the nominations came out, and then as we start to get closer, we'll give you those nudges, those last reminders to vote. And look, of course we'd love you to vote for the Junkie brand, but we just want you to vote. So those are going to be nudges in general to just go out there and vote and have some fun, you know, make your voice heard as a fan. And then if you're on the fence, maybe we can convince you to vote for the Junkie brand. All right, folks, buckle up. Here we go. It's MMA Junkie Radio on a late Wednesday night, July 1st.
The Counter, an NFL podcast from USA Today Sports. Featuring For the Win's Stephen Ruiz and Chris Corman.
I know people are like just assuming that this is an upgrade at the quarterback position, but I don't think we could say that for a fact. I'd say it's a downgrade.
He never really had game-to-game impact, just coming off the edge and destroying people that we thought when we saw his athleticism in college and at the combine.
The Counter, diving deeper into the NFL with advanced stats, film study, and expert guests. This is The Counter.
Listen and subscribe to The Counter on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, Goz, let's start off at the top. The Charles Mask Lewis Fighter of the Year. Here are the five names. Henry Cejudo, Israel Adesanya, Justin Gaethje, Jorge Masvidal, and Douglas Lima.
What are the time frames again?
Good question.
Because that's what makes everything so tricky with World MMA Awards, is always the time frame.
Yeah. Why does Modelo put foil around there?
It's kind of cool, no?
Top of the bottle. It does look cool, but
just right. Feels good when you're opening it.
One more swig. Hold on.
All right. Okay. Trying to land a Modelo sponsor or something?
I am. I really want one. I'm not kidding either.
On the main streets of Santa Ana.
Here's what I think.
Gorgeous George.
Here's what I think. I think Modelo, they got some awkward number, like a 187,000 to spend on MMA. And some guy's running that account. Mm-hmm. And so he's thinking, well, you know, I could probably give 20 grand to each fighter, to nine fighters. That would be 180,000. 7,000. What do I do with that 7? Huh, right here. Junkie Radio will take it. We'll take that 7,000. It's an awkward number. Just send it to us. We realize we're not as big as the fighters, but we're somebody, and we'll guzzle it. And you'll see it in a lot of videos. So if you're listening, Modella, holla at your boys. Okay. The time frame goes is basically all of 2019. And this year, because of COVID-19, I think they extended it an extra six months. So it's a total of 18 months. So the technical answer would be January 1st, 2019 to June 30th, 2020. Do I agree with that? No. Even though they're going to have a later edition of the World MMA Awards, like they're saying October, because everything's been delayed. The International Fight Week, the Hall of Fame, all that bullshit, that's been delayed. So, you know, and it's kind of like a tentative delay, because we don't even know if we're going to have all that. I mean, as of this moment, I hate to keep being this guy, but today, I think the United States passed over 50,000 infections for all of the United States across all of our states. It just doesn't seem to let up. And, of course, the NFL said something like only two season preseason games, no Hall of Fame. It's a mess, folks. So we don't even know if they're going to have that. Now, MMA is kind of leading the way, leading the charge as far as my maybe getting sports back. But the Hall of Fame, as we know it, the World MMA Awards, those are groups of people in a setting that the CDC saying, no can do. So, I don't know. I just would have stuck to 2019 and just done that bullshit over, like, Zoom, I guess. And the people can Zoom in and receive their award, and mm-hmm. that's it, you know?
I think you're right.
Because I don't know what they're going to do about next year. If next year is going to be, we just skip it all together because we got to do the second half of 2020 and all of 2021, or only the second half of 2020 is going to have its own award. I mean, that's the part that I don't know, and that's why I was suggesting maybe bringing Rob Hewitt on from Fighters Only to explain it. I read it through, but it wasn't making sense to me, and I still disagree with what they did, but that's what they did.
I like the stance that they took, in the sense that they said, look, we've been doing live shows. It's brought a lot of people together. Let's hold out, because that's the way it should be done.
I love that part.
I love that they did that, but then they got to a certain point where things weren't getting better. They were getting worse. And I think at that point, it's okay to throw in the towel. Not necessarily throw in the towel, but like you said, do one over Zoom or something, you know.
I love that they extended it and said, hey, maybe we can do it in October, but I still would have wanted them to do Reflect 2019. Because mm-hmm. The only thing I can think of is part of 2020 got wiped out, but not much. Look, I know that on March 7th, we had UFC 248. And I know UFC 249 was on May 6th. So, okay, we only lost 2 months. They canceled, what, Nebraska, Portland, London, and then the show that was supposed to be Brooklyn, Taichi Palace, and wound up being Jacksonville a month later. So I think there's a total of 4 shows. Don't quote me on that, but something like that. So it's not like so far the UFC, oh my God, like really, really got walloped. Plus, I think the UFC is going to make it up on the back end, you know, so there's going to be enough knockouts and submissions and fight of the years and all that shit for 2020. So I don't know. One thing I don't like to do is once they make their decision, you know, we have our go at them. We're not trying to shit on them. We love World MMA Awards people. I've rocked their T-shirts before, and their parties are a blast. I'm just saying, just in thinking out loud, it just seemed a little bit bizarre. But I saw Poirier and Hooker as one of the fights for Fight of the Year. So that's clearly 2020, which is last Saturday. But from Cejudo and Adesanya, so what we got to consider is you now got to throw in Cejudo's stats of beating Dominic Cruz in Jacksonville a few weeks ago. You see what I'm saying? Prior to that, in 2019, he defended the flyweight title against TJ, and then he knocked out Marlon Moraes to win the vacant bantamweight title, because when Dillashaw dropped, he popped on that fight and therefore had to give up or was stripped of the bantamweight title. So that was a vacant. So he had a title defense and a vacant, and then that's it. Henry Cejudo sat out the rest of 2019 due to injury. Now, he would be going up against Masvidal's knockout of Darren Till, his knockout of Ben Askren, And then his TKO stoppage of Nate Diaz. You see, Jorge hasn't fought in 2020.
Yeah, but I like that so
Jorge
far.
Versus Cejudo, Jorge beats Cejudo. If you're just going, hey, 3-2, Cejudo might push back and go, hey, homeboy, I'm defending a title and I'm also acquiring a new title, thereby becoming a champ, maybe cut me some slack on my 2-3, and then there's going to be others that go, well, hold on a second, he was very spectacular in his 3, he also got the BMF, you know, I don't know if you want to call that.
I created a belt is what I would say.
Right,
I created a belt and I got 3 stoppages.
Right. So, you know, that's what the Masvidal's camp's going to say. I understand what the Cejudo camp's going to say. But see, now Cejudo has the benefit of going, oh yeah, well, what about in the 2020? What did Jorge do then? Jorge hasn't done anything because he hasn't fought since that fight. And, well, even if he had signed to fight Usman, it wouldn't have qualified because that would have happened next week. But Cejudo, in the meantime, beat Dominic Cruz, arguably the best bantamweight ever. And if he ain't it, then it was TJ, you know? And TJ is, well, he's out right now, but he beat him too. So Cejudo's now got an impressive resume for that 18-month block. Then you got Israel Adesanya. He beat Anderson Silva in 2019. Shit, we might spend the whole show just on this one.
I know, that's what I'm thinking.
We got to get to some junkie love, though.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Israel Adesanya.
Let's commit to 4 categories.
4 categories. You got it. Israel Adesanya beat Anderson Silva in early 2019. Then he beat Kelvin Gastelum about 2 months later to win the interim UFC middleweight title. Classic, right?
Mm-hmm. Whitaker.
Then he knocked out Whitaker, round 2 in Melbourne, Australia. So now he became the undisputed champion because he unified his interim versus Whitaker's undisputed. Then you got to give him the Romero fight. Because that was his 2019 ended with Whitaker. So now he's going, hey, who was saying I won three fights? Who was it? Masvidal that was saying that? Well, I won 3 fights too. And then he's also able to boast these title fights, you know? Except now he can throw in the 4th one versus Romero. Now he's got a title defense. So he actually might have.
That one was a little iffy.
It was pretty.
Right? Yeah. So I think if he does pop off like that, I think the other two kind of give him Frank Mir face a little bit. Mm-hmm. But you got to respect that at the end of the day, the W's there.
It's 4-0. He won the interim, unified, and became undisputed, and then defended, and then he beat his longtime idol, Anderson Silva. You want to look at Douglas Lima?
Yeah. I mean,
I feel bad because
it's nothing against him.
It's not like we think he sucks. No. We would pick him against a lot of welterweights in the UFC. But the problem is Bellator just doesn't get the love from the fans the way the UFC does. But what did he do in 2019? He defeated Michael Venom Page in the Bellator World Welterweight World Grand Prix semifinal. KO punch. And then he beat Rory McDonald to win the Bellator World Grand Prix, and he acquired Rory's Bellator Undisputed belt. Took home $1 million. So that's a 2-0 year for Douglas Lima. He has not fought in 2020, so he only has 2 fights to hang his hat on. Then the last one is Justin Gaethje. He's going to benefit from 2020. Because of the Tony Ferguson fight. So let me tell you how his goes down. Justin Gaethje's 2019 is as follows. He started off with Edson Barboza, KO punch, got fight of the night. Then later in the year, he beat Donald Cerrone, KO TKO punches, round 1. Then Tony Ferguson in 2020. Man, I think Lima and Gaethje are out.
Yeah, it's so hard to even say these type of things, but you got to remember, you're talking about greatness on all sides.
Gaethje might push back and go, well, I won a title and Masvidal didn't. I get that. Cejudo.
This is fighter of the year.
This is fighter of the year.
This isn't breakout, nothing like that, where you would say, yeah, but Masvidal, this was his coming out party that year for
and
him.
And then put your mind in the average fan. Me and you are thinking about titles because we kind of almost cover the sport just to watch a fighter grow and to watch these title fights. That to me is my Super Bowl when I get to see these title fights, to see the history of our sport unfold. It's not that I hate the other ones. I mean, of course, I love the other ones too. But, man, you know, the average fan, I think, is just going to go, who had the fucking bang out 2019? You know what I mean? And Masvidal is tough to top because he knocked out Darren Till in London. All right? Not his hometown. He's from Liverpool, but his home country. Then he iced Ben Askren in 5 seconds on the biggest stage, International Fight Week. 5 seconds. So he broke the KO record. Actually, he broke the record for quickest stoppage, submission or KO in the UFC ever in 27 years of the UFC. 26, sorry. And then he beat Nate Diaz for the BMF title, in which he walked out with Roberto Duran, and he got the belt put on him by The Rock. I mean, that is a spectacular year.
Created a belt.
So now, does it beat the gold of Gaethje, Cejudo, Adesanya? Your purist might go, no, sorry. I love what Masvidal did, but sorry, these other guys had it a little bit of higher stakes.
I think it beats Gaethje. I think it's a three-horse race. I think it's between Adesanya, Cejudo.
Okay, let's go head-to-head. Okay. Till versus Gaethje beat Barbosa. I think you got to give that one to Masvidal. Yeah. Okay. All right. Then Gaethje beat Cerrone, and this guy beat Askren. Now, look, I know Cerrone's a popular name, but Askren had never lost, folks. I mean, he was the Bellator champ. He was a Bellator champ in the tournament. He was a Bellator champ with title defenses. Then he became the one champ with title defenses, and then he beat Robbie Lawler. It's not like he got shut down in his first fight. He actually beat Robbie Lawler, a former champion. As controversial as you want to call it or what. So then he goes in there and he gets beat by – so he solved a puzzle that no one else had ever solved. I might say that that's a bigger win than beating Cerrone.
I think so too. I think it's pretty clear.
Now, where Gaethje might get him back is, hey, bitch, I beat Ferguson. You beat Nate Diaz. Now, of course, we're not slamming Nate Diaz. We're not slamming Edson Barboza. All these guys are awesome, but we got to make a decision here.
You got to give the advantage to Gaethje in that one.
Right, easily, yeah.
They both
Masvidal had stoppages. Masvidal would concede that to him. Hey, you beat Tony, man. Fucking respect. Let me take my hat off.
I mean, they beat the brakes off of their opponents. Yeah. So, but really, Tony Ferguson is just kind of an unstoppable guy, where Nate Diaz, we've seen him have his fair share of losses, so I think it's clear you give the advantage on that one over to Justin Gaethje.
But does Masvidal win because his other two wins were better than Gaethje's one? So. Gaethje also won a title. Masvidal didn't. I mean, he won the BMF. So right away, just those two head up. Who
I think you take Masvidal, right? Okay, and yeah. then after that, it's a three horse race.
Okay, let's put Masvidal against Cejudo. Cejudo beat T.J. Dillashaw to defend his flyweight title.
Okay,
Masvidal beat Darren Till. And TJ Dillashaw was enhanced that night. Yeah. You might have to give that to Cejudo. All right. Masvidal beat Ben Askren in 5 seconds. This guy beat Marlon Moraes. So he went up to capture his second belt against Marlon Moraes.
Oh, man, that's tough because one happened in 5 seconds, and as great as it was,
and he was a champion.
See anything not
play in this,
out.
Not in this one, but he was a champion. Mm-hmm. You know, because
the way Cejudo,
I know, one could also say, hey, Moraes was a champion at WSOF.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think I give Cejudo that one too.
Yeah,
I mean, a record was broken, that's pretty big.
Okay,
but not much was really seen out of Jorge that night, other than that. Which was
so then
amazing.
You got to give Cejudo the nod because I don't think we're going to give, I think him beating Cruz is bigger than Masvidal beating Diaz.
Yeah,
wow, okay. I thought Masvidal might hold up. Now let's finish up with Masvidal. So now we're left with Cejudo versus Israel Adesanya. So I just told you what Cejudo did. Anderson Silva versus TJ Dillashaw. Cejudo advantage. Kelvin Gastelum for the interim versus Marlon Moraes. I might have to give Izzy Kelvin Gastelum.
That was a great fight.
Oh, shit. No? So who do I push back and go, wait a minute, I made a great fighter look bad because I finished him rather quickly. You struggled with Gastelum till the last round when you eked it out.
I wouldn't say eked.
Well, I mean, it was a 48-47, wasn't it?
Yeah. But I thought they were all clear.
And Gastelum knocked him down. True. If I'm not mistaken. So he acquired a second undisputed belt, and Izzy acquired the interim. Now, this is where Izzy makes up some ground. Izzy then went on and beat Robert Whittaker, the undisputed. And this is where Cejudo defended against Dominick Cruz. Cruz coming off a four-year layoff,
I think. One of the greatest bantamweights of all time, too, though.
True, but coming off a long layoff.
Yeah.
He wasn't champ. Whittaker was the undisputed champ. I think you got to give that nod to Izzy. So now it's 2-1 going into the fourth round, except Cejudo doesn't have a fourth round. But Israel has the Romero fight. Shitty or not, he'd be Romero, a guy that others have struggled with. It may have to be Israel Adesanya just on the virtue of 4-3. I don't know.
That one's tough, man. Because I don't want to just give it to a dude because he fought one more fight. Mm-hmm. But that is such a big deal, too, for a fighter.
So you're saying you're going to lob your vote for Cejudo, maybe? I wouldn't hate you if you did.
I might, but at the same time, I don't know that you can just disrespect. I mean, a fight happening is such a big deal. Being able to do it. I mean, how many times did we say, man, I wish this dude fought more often? This is an instance where that guy had done that. And even though it was a crappy fight, still got the nod. He still got the victory.
Would Masvidal's 3 have beat Cejudo's 2 if we didn't include Cejudo's 2021?
Yeah, I think so.
And would Masvidal's 3 have beaten Adesanya's 3?
His 3?
Yeah, because Izzy fought 3 times in 2019. He fought Whittaker, Gastelum, and Anderson. Let's go head-to-head. Anderson versus Till. I think Till's tougher right now than Anderson, right?
Yeah.
And it was an away game, whereas Izzy got Anderson in Australia. Not New Zealand, but still that part of the world.
God, what a cluster.
Izzy beating Whittaker is probably a bigger deal than... hold on a second. Where's our dog?
That's our punk-ass dog right now tripping.
Oh, he's... Yeah, he is tripping. So, Whittaker. Is he beating Whittaker versus Askren? That's tough, huh?
It is.
And then is he beating... Oh, no. Gastelum versus Askren. Pretty even. And then Whittaker versus Nate Diaz. I don't know. That's tough, man, because... This guy's fighting for gold. All right,
make a decision.
Well, I think Israel Adesanya probably – it's either – yeah, we have to go by what the criteria is, and that's June 30th of 2020. So it's Cejudo versus Izzy. I think Izzy's going to get it, but I think Cejudo's got a great argument.
I'm gonna give it to Cejudo, and I'm going to add one little caveat to it. Me too, because that
champ thing's impressive, man.
Yeah, I'm going to add the one thing too is he also had a fight in the COVID era, which is a lot tougher as well.
Okay. All right, the next one. Female fight of the year. You want to do that one now?
Nah.
Why not?
How's that going to play out?
I'm telling you. Hold on a second.
You're going to make an argument for somebody?
Yes. Is it a two-horse race?
Yeah.
First, let me tell you who's in it.
All right.
Valentina Shevchenko.
Yeah.
Zhang Weili. Mm-hmm. Kayla Harrison. Chris Cyborg. Amanda Nunes. So we'll take it one by one.
But we do need a softball in here.
We do, yeah.
Because my, yeah.
All right. So Amanda Nunes. She fought. This is who I think Ghost thinks is a slam dunk. But her 2009 was Holly Holm.
Mm-hmm.
She defended her bantamweight title. Jermaine Durandamy, she defended her bantamweight title. And then Felicia Spencer, she defended her featherweight title.
She obliterated all three.
No, she didn't.
Yeah.
She obliterated Holly Holm, but Jermaine and Felicia were decisions. They're not.
But they were dominant.
Well, they were, but
there wasn't any point where we were going, hey, how'd you score that round?
But I think an obliteration is also can be a finish too, right?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you take Valentina's KO over Jessica versus Amanda's decision over Jermaine?
I guess what I mean is, if Ben Askren fought Masvidal again, you wouldn't go, oh yeah, Masvidal lock, because of what happened in the first one. But you have more data from what Amanda did in those two fights where I think you'd go, yeah, give me Amanda Locke. I didn't see anything. I saw her try multiple things and not be able to beat her. As were, if you had the rematch with Ben and Masvidal, you'd go, well, shit, Ben Askren has a shot every single time these guys go out. I don't know. I only saw 5 seconds of that.
Maybe. Here's what Valentina did. She KO'd Jessica Ai. She decisioned Liz Carmouche. So that was dominant, but it was a decision. And then she blasted Caitlin Chookagian. So she also went 3-0. Now, in that process, she had two finishes. Amanda had one finish. Amanda can say, well, I also defended a higher weight belt one time and then my bantamweight twice, whereas Valentina defended her same division twice. So it's going to be the two finishes versus the two divisions.
Mm-hmm.
What and then who fought the higher competition? And who
think Liz of the Carmouche,
Caitlin Chookagian, Jessica Ai were all clear number one contenders. Felicia Spencer, clear number one. Jermaine, clear number one. Holly Holm, I think, got shoved to the front of the queue because she's popular, but she's a former champ.
But I think Valentina was like a minus 400 for each one of those, right?
This one's going to be tough. It might just be a popularity contest. And I wouldn't blame anyone for going, just like you said.
Two belts.
Nunes is the GOAT. Yeah.
Two different divisions. That's pretty impressive. I'd give the nod to Amanda.
Okay. Kayla Harrison, you know, we know what she did. And then we have Zhang Weili. Let's not overlook her. Because she does have a fight of the year as one of her fights. Fight of the year can also mean, hey, you were getting your ass kicked at portions of the fight too. Her 2019 looked like this. She beat Tisha Torres, Jessica Andrade to win the belt, and Joanna Jędrzejczyk to defend the belt.
I mean, Joanna Tisha Torres hurts. That hurts because that was part of the four fight losing streak. The other ones had clear number ones, which Tisha just broke, but I don't even know that that applies to this.
Chris Cyborg's the last one. Out of respect, I'll do this, but I don't know that. What she accomplished was pretty impressive, winning Strikeforce, Bellator, Invicta, and UFC. That's pretty damn impressive. But I think the Julia Budd fight's what's going to stand out. She beat Felicia Spencer. That's it. She's only got the 2-0s. The two fights, sorry. So a 2-0 in that period of time. I think it's going to be a two-horse race between Valentina and Amanda. All right, next one. That's two categories.
Well, what's your final decision? I'm going Amanda.
I think Amanda's going to win, but I think Valentina was more spectacular.
Okay.
All right. Breakthrough fighter. Let's skip that one for now. International fighter. No, let's skip that one. Fight of the year. I think we could do fight of the year.
Okay.
Did you want to suggest one?
Well, I was just going to say, why don't we have a little bit of a buffer and just kind of talk about the fact that John Morgan, Mike Bond,
all right, let's skip to
they're
that one,
nominated then. For awards, and then the website itself, and allow us to give you our pitches as to why we believe you should vote for us.
All right, Cisco first, Journalist of the Year. Here are your five names. John Morgan, Mike Bond. This is Mike Bond's first nomination. John's been nominated, I don't know how many times, but I will say multiple. And John's also won it once before Ariel started his run. So John Morgan, Mike Bond, Brad Okamoto, he deserves. Ariel Helwani, he deserves. And Gareth Davies. I don't follow Gareth. I can tell you he's an awesome fellow when I run into him. Super cool. And when I've seen him do work, he's just unique. And I find him interesting. But I don't follow him on a daily basis to go, oh, there he goes breaking another story. Oh, there he goes with another opinionated column. Oh, there, you know, this breakdown or anything like that. But I have found myself saying that guy's solid. You know what I mean? So of those five, make your pitch. Or tell me who you plan on voting for. Or
it's funny because like if you look at even John and Mike, I don't want to say do two completely different things. But John's role has changed a little bit now where really what he gives you as a journalist is like fight day coverage. Nobody does it like John Morgan. Like he's there. He's asking the questions you want to know in the press conference. He's pushing. He's at every contender series. He's doing all these fight nights. He's traveling a lot all over the world. Mike probably doesn't travel as much as John, but what Mike does is provide you with a lot of interviews as well, right? And he does some of what John does
too. And the stats are pretty cool.
Yeah. So they kind of, they sort of do two different things within our website. Obviously, I'd want you to vote for one or the other. I can't tell you which one to vote for, but they're both good choices. They're both solid choices. Like you said, Gareth, I don't really know too well. I know he's a pretty smart guy and he does his homework. And then you have Brett, and Brett's great. Brett's always done a good job, but I don't know how people look at the whole, he works for ESPN. And so
ESPN's
he's
a partner.
Breaking stories, but like, is he really like throwing people up against the wall going, when is this guy fighting? I mean, like, probably not. I mean, it just depends on how people look at that. And then the last one's Ariel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ariel Helwani's kind of hard to beat because he does multiple things too. You know, he does his interviews as well, and he's on TV. So really, I think it's probably a three. I mean, it's just how you look at Brett Okamoto, because Brett does great work.
I almost think Ariel could be put in that personality category, maybe, or whatever it's called. Because, or maybe, well, he's under Best MMA Programming, so that he would say, hey, that's my show, not me. Mm-hmm. Analyst, no, he doesn't really do that. Personality, has he become something of a personality? I mean, Chael Sonnen's there, and Chael shares a show with him.
And he's got the one with DC.
Yeah, but they didn't do that, so let's revert. I of course they all do great, but my vote's either going to go to Morgan or Bond.
Mm-hmm.
And they do outstanding work, and I can stand behind both of them. So yeah. I have no problem. I will sleep good that night. The night that I click either name, I will sleep good. Because they both really, really hustle, and they're clean dudes. Like the,
lay your head down on the pillow.
I haven't experienced anything where I've had to tell either guy, hey man, like, you know, cut that out or nothing like that. Not that it's my place, but I'm not their boss or anything, but nothing where I felt like, hey, look, what you're doing, people are talking about, maybe you should stop, you know, like nothing like that. And I would expect them to tell me the same thing if they saw something on my end. That's why I really try and be transparent with a lot of the things we do, and, you know, but beasts, they're all beasts. Okay,
well, that's where we are with those. And then as far as our
media
own,
source,
our own website is one that's nominated. SureDog, I believe, is nominated.
ESPN, MMA Junkie, The Mac Life, and The Athletic. So let me explain something. ESPN is a partner of the UFC. That's what Dana White calls them. At one point, Dana White had said something controversial that a lot of people gave us flack over, I should say. And that's that we were some sort of an affiliated partner with them. Look, I don't think it was anything other than, I think it was called a league partner. I don't think it was anything other than they advertised. But I can honestly say I never felt like we, because of that, it changed the way we covered. Because we still got the pissed off calls from them on the stuff that was reported, you know, which we've gotten since our inception in 2006, whether we were league partners or not. Hey, why'd you say this? Or why are you guys covering it this way? And, you know, we would have to defend our piece or our sources or whatever. That's a little behind the scenes stuff. But I don't think it ever affected or changed the way Dan Stupp ran the show up until when he was no longer with us. And then Simon Simano. Nope. Not those guys, for sure. And I will tell people this. Have you not seen a Bellator skin on our website or a PFL skin on our website?
One championship.
Those are just deals that we've done. Now, we weren't official league partners per se, but it never skewed the way that we covered them. So anyone that ever wants to say that, you just get a big old hand from me. I'm just like waving you off, kind of like, get away. Similar to like the Heisman pose, just like, get off. Go away with that shit. So back to what I was saying here. I will say this. What do you think of MMA fighting not being there? Those are our rivals. They've won the last four, and they've won a total of five that matches the five we've won. Mm-hmm. But they're not there. They're the defending, not only champ, but four-time champs. And they're not there, and those other ones are there. I know we deserve there. And say what you want about ESPN. They do great work, so fine. If you want to put them their league partner or not, they deserve there too. Sherdog, I don't see them on a daily basis, but I've never felt like Sherdog's ever really like fallen off. I mean, they still have people that go out there and report and do their stuff. I see them at the shows. The ones I would question maybe is MacLife and Athletic. Now, Athletic,
I don't know if I'd question them.
I have friends there. Well, they started in June of 2019. They didn't give you a full year, we'll say. Mm-hmm. But they extended it up until 2020. Now, what they do is the long-form type of writing. Holy crap, I got to sneeze.
Bless you. I guess what I would point out... What I would point out in all that is, I mean, MacLife is pretty dedicated to one thing, right? Like, there's if you look at MMA Junkie, you're going to get stories from everything. Everything going on in MMA. The Athletic, it's probably not... I don't know that you're hitting it constantly throughout the day.
I don't remember them having like a play-by-play or anything.
Right. Like they have their niche and they're really, really good at it.
Really good. Great story writers.
As of late, things are a little different there. Mm-hmm. But
I don't think they ticked every box.
Right.
Like there's no video on MMA, The Athletic. It's all long-form writing. And I'm sorry, I get that that's their niche. It's not like I haven't read their articles, Manchester United, the 49ers, this, that, whatever. But, I mean, we raised the bar, man. Junkie raised the bar. Fighting raised the bar. A lot of these sites raised the bar, and I felt like I didn't get that there. But look, I mean, hey, did they do a great job? Yes. The MacLife, I haven't been on their site enough to just go, oh, wow, they do this, they do that. I really couldn't tell you. Do you have you?
No.
Now, do you think, just off the top of your head, with the little you know about MacLife and Athletic, do you think they top MMA Fighting? I know MMA Fighting took a hit with their staff, but did they top what MMA Fighting kind of delivers still?
I don't think so.
Me neither.
The easiest way for me to figure this out is just, if they all disappeared from your life and you were only left with one, like, if I told you you could never read or see anything from MacLife again, like, how much does your life change being an MMA fan? Not much, right? If you were to do that for other sites, I'm sure if Junkie wasn't around, I think it would hurt. I think it would hurt fans. There would be a lot of news that they don't get. And the one thing that the last couple years we haven't won, and the only thing that I can maybe point to is maybe we weren't breaking as many stories. But when we do break them, they're right. We don't get them wrong. And as of late, we've been doing that a lot more. So I feel like we made that adjustment. Obviously, I work for them. That's who I would vote for. But I feel pretty confident about that. And I put it on Twitter today.
But I'm bummed out that Fighting's not there.
I am a little bummed out, too. I put it on Twitter today, and I've said it every single year. Just if you're on a desert island, you could only get your source from one news site. There's a few there that you're just not going to hear about Invicta. You're not going to hear about One Championship. You're not going to hear about PFL. We do a good job of covering every event. So I would say that gives us the nod. But that's us trying to convince you guys to vote for us. We think we deserve it. And if we're full of shit, don't vote for us. But we think we do a pretty damn good job here.
Right. And if you think we're full of shit, don't vote for us, but just go out there and vote for someone. I don't care. I really don't care if you vote for someone else and not us, but I'd rather you vote for someone else and not us than not vote at all. I would like to see that the fan vote gets higher and higher and higher, just like I want to see the UFC and Bellator always get more ratings and more pay-per-views. The sport should be even more popular than it already is. It's a great sport, man. I mean, when you pop open your beer and open that pizza carton at 3 p.m., and you know that for the next 6 hours, man, you're going to get to see all kinds of action. And there's going to be a lot of what the fuck moments, you know what I mean? It's pretty cool. It's to me, I find it just as cool as watching two back-to-back great college football games or the NFL or whatever. It's up there, man. So, Morgan Urban, MMA Junkie, and then I think we covered the two Fighter of the Year categories for male and female. And on a future episode, we'll come in and hammer another one out. Let's do one more, Ghost. Come on.
All right, we got to touch on a little news, right?
You want to? This is fun. All right, what news you got? We'll come back to another category another time. No, Ring Card Girl of the Year. Come on, let's get that one done.
All right.
Carly Baker.
That was going to be part of the news, by the way.
Jenny Andrade, Louise McKee, Brittany Palmer, and Mercedes Terrell.
All right. Mercedes Terrell, with her podcast, just how she carries that Bellator flag. She basically owns Instagram. She's up there. And then I think you got to give Brittany Palmer with, I don't know what you call it. I don't
want to say having
the balls, but the whole, when this whole pandemic thing came up, she said, I'm your girl.
In Jackson.
I'm there.
Yeah.
Back when it was going to be at Tachi. Then
Louise McKee's the other Bellator girl.
Mm-hmm.
The new one.
I think it's a two-headed
Jenny
race.
Jenny Andrade is the three-time winner
mm-hmm.
who
she had to sit
doesn't
out
do as many shows, and she did get pregnant and have a baby, but she's got a tattoo of the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
And she loves the UFC. She is proud to be on part of the UFC. And when she walks that little catwalk, you know, around the octagon, I don't know that any of the other girls connect with the crowd like she does. Like, she's magnetic. I'm not saying Ariane and Brittany and all those other ones aren't, because they're all beautiful young ladies. Let's get that out of the way. They're all outstanding in that department. But I feel like the one thing Jenny does do is she would rather not be anywhere else. Where I think the other ones, like some of them have a lot of fame and money already.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the other ones where if you told them, like, you know, let's pretend COVID's not in existence. And one of the other ones found out that, I don't know, Leonardo DiCaprio is having a party in Bel Air, you know, and it's exclusive. I feel like a few of them would rather be there than the UFC. But they already committed about a month ago.
Okay,
damn, I got to do the UFC. Jenny, to me, strikes me as, I could care less. I don't want to be anywhere else than that event that I've circled on the
calendar. If Ronaldo or Neymar threw a party, she might be like, that is pretty dope. Who knows?
Maybe,
but I get where you're saying.
She doesn't give off that vibe on social media, though.
Yeah.
Like, the other ones are doing a lot, and sometimes you have to scroll through some pictures to go, oh, that's right. You know, she's still doing it. And you start to wonder, like, Carly Baker's pretty good, but whatever. I'm voting for Jenny. Maybe Mercedes, because she's a workhorse. She's loyal, and she's super cool.
I'm voting for Mercedes.
It's either Mercedes or Jenny, or we'll just have to split the vote. Maybe, I don't know.
I'm going to go with Mercedes just because outside of her job, she also did something to bring attention.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with her. And I think my number two might be Brittany Palmer, just because mad respect that she really stepped up for the UFC when they needed it the most. So,
speaking of, what's your news that you wanted to cover?
Well, we were bringing up Ring Card Girls and Ariane Celeste. Congratulations. She's pregnant.
Yeah.
She's having a kid. I thought that was pretty dope.
Mm-hmm. 34 years of age, and she's been doing this, I believe, the fall of 2007, so 13 years. That puts her at 21 when she started, you know.
Mm-hmm. Angela Lee and Roxanne Modafferi agree to fight.
Andrea Lee.
Or Andrea Lee. See, what did I say?
Angela. She's the one at one championship.
Yeah, agree to fight in September. Mm-hmm. So that fight came out. And then there's, anytime you see a story that says MMA Junkie Radio, that's what George and I do here when we're not doing the radio show. We just did an interview with Eric Albarracin. That was pretty entertaining. And
he had a cool chain and a cool coat.
Mm-hmm, there's one with Dustin Poirier that should be coming out soon. And also John Anik. Week. And was there another one?
Faber and Couture, except that's part of another.
That's part of a little surprise. Yeah. Thing. So lots for you to catch up with on the website. But I found all those interviews to be very, very interesting, and probably get a couple recaps out of it.
Our spinning back click, always want to throw some love there, and the rankings report as well. So check that out, folks. There's no fights this Saturday. It's Independence Day. But the following week is UFC 251. So let me lay out the week for you. This week, nothing. This is it. Just check Junkie every 30 minutes for some fresh stories, some fresh content. Then next week, we have our Junkie Radio Show Monday morning, Wednesday over at Sportscaster, Thursday back here. And then we have our UFC 251 watch along. So we'll be watching the fights with you. Whether you order the fights or not, hang out with us. You can always mute us if you want and listen to Anik and the boys, or you can mute them and listen to us. But why not all hang out together? We have a chat. We always tell you who we bet on. It's pretty fun. There'll be plenty of Modelo's and pizza on our end. What were you going to say, goes to close out?
To close out, just the more of like a rendering of what's actually the infrastructure of Fight Island. I thought that was pretty interesting. And, you know, say what you will. If you think the UFC is padding stats or putting stats out there that aren't accurate, I really commend them, man. I really think they did a really good job with what happened here with this pandemic. Like, if it wasn't for that, really, SportsCenter is just basically saying the same old crap over and over. It's been fun to have those on the weekend. So no sports at all was really, really hurting. And they found a way to put things together. And I got to commend them. I mean, I just wish, see, everything they're doing, I know they didn't do it on the fly. So I just wish initially they would have come out with more information and said, this is what we're trying to do. And I don't think as many people would have jumped down their throats. But when you look at everything that they've done so far and what they've created out at Fight Island, seems pretty cool, man. I have to commend them.
I would agree. Four events in 15 days, including one pay-per-view. There's going to be four title fights. Two incumbents are defending. Two vacant titles are up for grabs. Lots of awesome matchups like Jessica Andrade versus Rose Namajunas, Darren Till versus Robert Whittaker. So even some non-title fights that are just bangers. Calvin Kattar versus Dan Ige. Oof, it's going to be fun, man. Those 15 days in July. So it's July 11th. The 15th, the 18th, and the 25th. Three Saturdays and one Wednesday. Definitely mark those on the calendar. Folks, we're going to get on out of here. Hopefully you enjoyed today's show. Don't forget to go to the World MMA Awards and vote. You can go to MMA Junkie and just kind of click on the story itself. It'll provide the links. And we'd love your support on the two categories that involve junkies. Two of our journalists, Mike Bond and John Morgan, are up for Journalists of the Year. Both do outstanding jobs. And both deserve to be there. I'd love to see one of them announced as the winner at what we hope will be the World MMA Awards in October, a live setting if we can get past this COVID-19. And then, of course, MMA Junkie as a website up for Best Media Source. We've won five of these. We would love to rack our sixth. We got some tough competition, but that's just the way it is, and that's the way we love it. So, anyhow, on Twitter and Instagram, goes at the goes. I'm at MMA Junkie George. The radio show's at MMA Junkie Radio. Thank you so much for all of your support. Keep it locked on MMA Junkie throughout the week. We'll see you on Monday. Until then, go out there and be a champion.